LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 733. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Pete. Pete, what's up, man?
What is up, dude? How you doing, man?
Good, good. That's it. Your internet's back. You're finally hosting.
Yeah. It's been a minute, right? It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I guess the past couple of months, the past 2 months, it's been a trial by fire dealing with, at first it was the car, then it was dealing with the internet. It was like the world hated me. But other than that, it was fine. I mean, I'm thankful, right? Ooh. I'm thankful here. I got the family. What more can I ask, right?
Definitely, man. And Paris is not going to be joining us this week. He's going to join us on Sunday. Make sure to tune in on Twitch or listen to the podcast on Monday morning. We're going to release that. And next week is our live show, Pete. I'm excited. Live show.
Wait. Already? Next week?
Next week, Orlando. In Orlando.
I don't even know if I'm ready for that. Wow. Oh, it's next weekend. Wow.
It's next weekend. It's Friday. Yeah, man. Friday evening. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, Paris, so Friday, the show in. Is Friday evening or is it Saturday evening?
No, it's Friday.
Friday night?
Friday, I believe, 6:30. So make sure to be there, Pete. Imagine where I'm there with Paris. I'm like, no Pete in the house.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That just changes things up a little. So okay. I thought the show was on Saturday. No lie. Legit. I thought the show was on Saturday.
No, February 9th is a Friday.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah, there you go. All right. There you go. All right, so for those who are listening, make sure to go to gamertagradio.com, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere. Just listen to the episodes and post your feedback, share with your friends, subscribe, or if you can, post a review. That will help us out big time too. And February 9th, like I was saying to Pete, because Pete got confused with the dates, we're going to record a live podcast episode of Gamertag Radio in front of an audience. First time in 13 years. So the whole crew is going to be there. A couple of listeners already been emailing me saying that they're planning to attend. So if you can, if you're close by the Orlando area, if you want to drive from another state to Florida and go to Orlando, go to podfest.us for more information, the location, everything, or email me, godfrey@gamertagradio.com. It will make it happen. We'll definitely make it happen, man. It's totally free, our session. And February 25th, the Gamertag Radio documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story, is coming out. Totally free. We're going to stream it live on Twitch. And we're also going to have a video on demand version available there on Twitch and other places too. So very excited. Pete, I believe today was your first time watching the documentary.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, there's been, we've had you know, several iterations going back and forth, and I wanted to wait until you were rock solid and ready to say this was the final cut. And then I gave it a week, and then I gave it a week to marinate, right? Because, you know, last minute things happen. Sometimes you get a last minute brainstorm and you want to just make changes. So I watched it. Not going to lie, there was about five or six instances where I had to take the glasses off and wipe the eyes. You know, the onion cut ninjas were attacking.
Mm-hmm.
There's a special moment in there. I don't want to spoil it. It's around the 45 minute mark. Just from a podcasting perspective, that one specific moment, I literally had to hit pause and just stop. And that's when I actually hit you up on the private chat. So, it's, you know, honestly, it caught me by surprise. Like, you know, obviously having, you know, being part of the whole thing, from, you know, like 2008, 2009, all the way to now. Wow. 10 years on the show with you, dude. Wow. That's crazy. But yeah, just seeing the trip, you know, obviously I'm in it, I would assume, right?
I hope so.
You know, I remember those moments when we recorded them. Hell, it was Fat Pete recording them, right? And then we had, you know, a little bit of Fat Paris in there as well. And so it's amazing how just in that small span, how much we've grown. Right. But seeing the whole journey, seeing the whole thing, all the people that like we talk to almost on a regular basis in the industry, right? You know, like the Tony Hines, and, you know, just seeing people who are now much further into the gaming industry than even we are, you know, collectively, you know, seeing how they succeeded and now they're, you know, leading the charge and they're pretty much, you know, the direction in which, you know, they're the ones who get to choose the direction in which their games and their communities go. So it's just amazing how many lives you have touched. And I guess by proxy, Paris and I as well, right? Just from being with you on the show and being friends with you. It's amazing. It's an eye-opening experience to see, just how much community really matters to any industry, whether it's video games or comic books or whatever. It's just, it's fantastic to see that. So, and just, again, it's just amazing to have been a part of it all and, you know, doing what I can to just help make this thing grow.
Yep. Have you showed it to the family yet or not yet?
No, I haven't. Actually, I watched it today. Okay. I was killing corporate time. Here at the house, you know, I work from home now. So, you know, I had an hour in between sessions, so I was able to just start. I figured I'd just pop it up and just, you know, if something popped up, I could always hit pause. And so I was watching and I was like, damn, this might be, so I'm going to have to show this. And I don't know if I'm going to show it to them, you know, do I want to wait? Do I want to do it over the weekend? The kids aren't actually here this weekend, so it's just me and the wife. So I kind of want the kids to be a part of it. So I got to spend a day. Okay. I got to spend a night and be like, hey kids, you know, buckle down for an hour and 6 minutes. I want you guys to watch this.
I already done a couple private screenings with family and friends. And also I invited a couple people that are not into gaming, not into podcasts. I just want to get like the reaction and stuff. And man, they left happy. They left proud. Some of them cried. Some of them didn't know my story because I've never really mentioned that to them. So when they got to see it, they were like, wow, this is a powerful documentary, man. Very cool. Very, very cool. So I'm going to have our first screening in Miami. So I'm very excited to show the movie to the public for the first time. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to have an announcement, hopefully by next week, a big major screening outside of the U.S. So I'm definitely going to talk about that in the future.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Let's see what we have here. We have a lot of topics, man. I think this is going to be like an E8 episode, Pete. No, Paris, because Paris is in the chat. But it's going to be a lot of topics about EA, man. So let's go with the big rumor that everybody's talking about for the past couple of days. And I think it was Polygon that they were the ones that posted this rumor about Xbox planning to buy some companies there, a couple. PUBG, is one of them, which makes sense. If it's going to happen, it makes a lot of sense. Valve. And the one that caught me by surprise, remember, this is a rumor, is EA. EA Games, EA Sports, just EA in general. That sounds kind of crazy. Your thoughts about this rumor, Pete?
So I want to go in reverse order. I want to just... The one that there's no way it's happening is EA. There's no way EA is going to be part of this purchase deal. It'd be a fantastic, it would be a huge get for them, but it's not going to happen because EA just has, that's just giving up way too much money for themselves from a global scale to for that to be possible. Valve is the one that has the most opportunity for them. You figure the consumer base for Steam itself is roughly about 75% to 80% Windows anyways. So that's the logical, you know, that's the logical smart pick. I think the one that's not that hard to say no to would be the PUBG Corp purchase, right? That is, you know, that's been the big one for Xbox One and Xbox One X, you know, over the last, you know, month and a half and so on. So that's huge. That would be an amazing get for them just because right now it's the game that everybody's talking about. For them to be able to hold that as a first party IP, you know, I think would speak volumes to what they could do with that title moving forward. Right, being able to throw forth the Coalition and, you know, other studios at it to improve or expand upon the game. I have to go back and say there's no way EA is going to make that happen. There's no way EA says that.
But why everybody's saying it can't happen? Remember, at the end of the day, it's all about money. And everybody was surprised when Disney bought Marvel. Everybody was surprised when Disney bought Star Wars.
Not really, because at that point, Marvel was starving for money. You know, they needed the money, right? Because you remember, well, for the comic book stuff, you got to go, you know, for Marvel and stuff, you got to go back to the late 90s when the big monster comic book bust occurred. Marvel was getting ready to shut doors, and that's part of the reason why they had to sell the rights to like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four to Sony and stuff like that. And that's why you didn't see that with DC, because Warner Brothers was bankrolling all of that. They had no problems with that. Fast forward now, there's a lot of money on the table for that. I would almost take my claim and my position in GTR that it's not going to be EA.
All right, so let's go with this. Let's go with this, and let's play around with this. Let's go with what if?
Okay,
let's make believe we're in a different universe. It happens. They make the huge announcement. Everybody's, oh my god, this is like the biggest mega news ever, right, in the gaming industry. What way it will work for Microsoft if they did purchase EA? Because in my opinion, I think that sports wise, I think they should just keep it available for all consoles, also for the PC and so on. But I think games like Anthem, Battlefield and so on, I think they probably will have it as an exclusive for Xbox and PC. If they really want the consumers to buy their games or their consoles. Your opinion.
5 minutes ago.
Remember, what if?
I get it. But 5 minutes ago, you said these companies are all about money. Right?
Yeah.
And there's no way that you're going to throw an exclusivity clause on Xbox and, we'll say, Star Wars, because right now Sony has the majority of the market, and you're letting that go just by you're talking 60 to 70% of the market right now in console sales, roughly.
Time out. Remember, I didn't even mention Star Wars. I only said Anthem, Battlefield. I never mentioned Star Wars. And the reason why I didn't mention it is because to
EA,
me,
EA owns
first Bio. Of all, no. It's the thing is with a game like Star Wars and Madden and FIFA, I think it reminds me of like Minecraft. You know, Microsoft purchased Minecraft years ago. They have this game available for all consoles. And PC and mobile and so on. That's more money for them. And they could do the same thing with a game like Star Wars and NFL and FIFA and whatever.
See that, you know, and that's the part that I have to disagree simply because FIFA will pull their license because they don't want an exclusivity clause. Same with NFL, with Madden, same with NBA, same with any of those major sports. You know, companies, they're not going to want that. It would be fantastic, but when you throw other companies licensing, FIFA's not going to want to, and going back to what I was saying earlier, FIFA's not going to want you to say, oh, wait, you know that much larger install base that you have over there at Sony? We're going to let that go. There's no way. FIFA wants all of that money. Think about it, dude.
But again, Pete, it's going to be available for every console. I never mentioned this is only going to be only on Xbox. It's all consoles. Okay, Minecraft, right? They purchased Minecraft. It's available on the Nintendo Switch, on the 3DS, PlayStation. They even have relationship with PlayStation because of Minecraft. And this is a Microsoft game, right? They could do that with all those other games for EA. Let's say... the sports games, which makes sense to have that available everywhere, including mobile. Star Wars is under; they have a contract with EA, Disney, right? They have this contract for a certain amount of games. This has to be available on all consoles. It can't be an Xbox exclusive. So those games, put all those games on the side. But I'm talking about games from EA, Battlefield, Anthem. You know, games like Dead Space, let's just say, Mirror's Edge, those could be exclusive for Xbox because that's an EA game. Unravel 2, let's say, right?
Right. And you know what? I would get it as that would be the reasoning why, you know, that would be the only way that an EA-owned Microsoft-owned EA could start to establish that catalog of games for first party use. But now you start to alienate your existing customer base. You've got a customer base who and we'll use your example, Dead Space. Everybody's used to playing that game on multi-plat. Now by telling them, tap the brakes, son, you can only play it on your Xbox. Well, then now you've started to alienate a customer base. And I don't know if Microsoft, having shelled out all this money to buy EA, now wants to take a risk from a financial perspective by losing out on a customer base that could have just spent your money. Now, maybe including Game Pass in that whole scenario, and now you can get Anthem via Game Pass, and now you have access to all of these other EA sports games via Game Pass. Maybe that helps, and that fosters into that whole subscription-based consumer versus, you know, you're only going to buy a $60 game once every 3 years, right? Maybe that works for them. But I just don't know if them buying a developmental powerhouse as an EA would foster any good from a financial perspective. I don't know. From a business sense, I don't see it as a plus for EA. I see it as, aside from the money gain, obviously, but that's more from a shareholder's perspective. I just think that from a consumer perspective, I don't know if that's going to be if that's a viable option for them.
All I'm saying, man, if that happens, we have this conversation. You know, I know Paris has been saying this on our chat and on Twitter. He's like, man, that's never going to happen. That's crazy. But I'm just saying, man, what if that happens? Then what?
Are we we can live in the world of what ifs all we want, but you know, that's exactly what it is. It's a what if. It's throwing your darts at the dartboard and hoping that something sticks. Mm-hmm. And then if it happens, hey, congratulations, man. You were Miss Leo for January 2017 or 2018.
It's all good. But no, Pete, but okay, I know PUBG makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why Valve?
Again, 75, and I'm using a rough number here. Obviously, I'm not tuned into Gabe Newell's numbers system.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say a very, very high percentage. I'd probably say 75 to 80% of your install base for Steam is running on a Microsoft Windows device, right?
Yes.
I think it would just having a PC gaming experience tied to Steam, they've already got all the kinks worked out. It's not like Microsoft has to learn how to maneuver this water. My only question would be, how would you be able to integrate the Steam marketplace and the Xbox marketplace? Because God knows the Xbox marketplace on PC is it's hard to look at. It's a struggle bus. And that's the only thing. Like, if we can maybe change the Xbox, interface or dashboard shopping, or Xbox store or something like that, merge it. And I don't know how to do that. Don't get me for design. I'm not the guy you want designing things. But if we could get a solid mix of Steam and the Xbox marketplace, I think that's a good opportunity for them. It's just a natural fit for them.
But I think everybody's bringing up Steam. Mm-hmm. And that's like the only thing that everybody brings up. But nobody is talking about VR, their Steam machine, their exclusive for first party games from Valve. Nobody's talking about that. Everybody is only talking about Steam, and that's it.
Because I think, honestly, VR is still in its infancy. I mean, yeah, there's the one-offs that pop up every once in a while that are like, oh, yeah, that's a great experience. But I still, and maybe it's because I'm a little more naive towards VR because I don't spend as much time on it as other people have. I mean, I spent a weekend with HoloLens, and that was fun. But I don't see me pulling 500 hours like I put on PUBG. Or almost 600 hours. That's the. I don't see me putting that much time into VR. And so until it matures, which could be as early as next year, I mean, there's still advances being made. But I think we still need that standout title that forces people to go to Best Buy or to Amazon and buy start seeing VR headsets disappearing off the shelves and you can't keep them on the shelves. Once that happens.
No, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up because, there's a lot of people that love Steam.
Mm-hmm.
They purchase all their products, the controller, the Steam machine, the VR. And once again, this is the what if scenario. What if Microsoft makes an announcement that now Valve is under Microsoft now? Is all those products... is gone. That's it. They're only going to concentrate on just the Steam portion, or are they going to continue to with the service? Because I think it will piss people off, man, if they just kill the product like that. It just doesn't look right business wise. I'm not saying, oh, if VR is big, or I'm talking about for those that already purchased all these products, then what? Are they going to still support this for a certain time and that's it, or maybe they're going to continue with this under Microsoft umbrella?
You have to think about it. The early access or the Steam Indie Showcase or whatever is similar to the idea at Xbox concept, right? Valve doesn't own the rights. They're just a distributor for the game. You mentioned Mojang, before with regards to Minecraft.
Minecraft, yep.
And that was, I think that was a Steve Ballmer purchase, if I'm not mistaken. And that was their first major purchase
I think in a long time. I think it was under, I think Phil Spencer worked on that. And what's his name? New person in charge. It wasn't Steve Ballmer.
Nadella?
Steve Ballmer wasn't there at that time.
Nadella?
Yeah. He was the one that approved that, I think. Steve Ballmer wasn't involved with that at all.
Right. Well,
I might be wrong.
Well, it was their first major acquisition since, Lionhead. So
Yes.
You want to say like seven, maybe
was the last one.
Yeah. I mean, before Mojang was Lionhead, obviously they let go of the Halo franchise and Bungie. So, or they didn't let go of the Halo franchise. They let go of Bungie they allowed Bungie to get out of their contract with them and stuff like that. I mean, you know, so think about it. Rare, Lionhead, Mojang. Rare was 2001, 2002, I want to say. So
yeah, early 2000s.
6 years. 2000. And then obviously, Mojang in 2016. So that's a lot of money that they have to shell out for things like that. What was it, like $2 billion or something like that for Mojang?
Yep.
That's a lot of cash to let go. Plus you're funding these hardware, these hardware initiatives with Xbox, Xbox One X, et cetera. And then you have, your infrastructure rollouts of money. I'm pretty sure that they're rolling in enough money that they can do a monster acquisition like Valve. I think PUBG is going to be the one out of all of them. I think the one that's got the highest probability is PUBG Corp.
PUBG. Yeah. Makes sense.
I think Gabe's floating on enough on enough, bundles of money that he doesn't need to do this in selling Valve. I mean, if they do, that adds Half-Life 3 to the potential IP catalog, and God knows the world would explode if Microsoft says, and by the way, we've got another, Half-Life 3 confirmed on an E3 press conference. I think everybody faints with wallets being thrown on stage.
I just feel that Valve been kind of quiet. They've just been quiet. They're just doing their thing behind the scenes. They're located in Seattle. There was a time that they were doing interviews, promoting every, Steam Machine and all this. Now you don't really hear much from them, So
do they need to though? I mean, Dota makes money. CSGO,
of course,
makes money.
Dude, I'm not saying that they're not making money. It's just they've just been quiet. I don't know, my opinion, but
well, I think part
I have
of that,
I have other topics.
I think part of that also was their heavy investment into the Steam Machine that I don't think panned out as much as or as well as they thought it was going to. I think the Steam Link was kind of a failure.
Kinda. It was a failure. I think Steam Machine overall was just.
And then their attempt to try to pull in the Linux crowd just didn't work out as well because the whole driver issue and Linux. I think in terms of things that happen, PUBG, Valve, and then EA. But like I was saying, if Microsoft buys this, and let's say the year of 2020 happens. And they're like, okay, here's the Xbox One X squared. Sony's about ready to drop their PS5, and they're like, and Half-Life 3 confirmed included with your Xbox One X squared or whatever the hell they're going to call it. Dude, the collective rumble of jaws hitting the floor at the E3, at that E3 press conference, and followed by the thud of wallets being thrown at Phil, it's a wrap. Game over.
It's a wrap.
Paris rips off his shirt and he's got a bright green like tank top with a cape. It happens.
But we're going to talk more about EA.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a couple of news that came up from that conference call, man. EA confirmed to the Wall Street Journal that Battlefront 2 shipped 9 million copies during its launch quarter. Big difference because I think the first Battlefront that came out back in 2015, it sold 13 million copies.
Shipped 14 million copies in 2015.
Oh, shipped. Okay. So shipped during the 2015 first quarter, right?
Fiscal launch year.
Yeah. So they predicted that this game was going to sell ship at least 10 million and underperformed, man, because of the whole microtransaction and stuff, man. And now EA doesn't know when is the next Battlefront game is going to come out. There's no talks about that at all. So what are your thoughts about that, man? I mean, microtransaction Killed it. Oh, and by the way, they even said they're also going to bring back microtransaction to the game.
So let's be straight up honest here.
Mm-hmm.
Shipped versus sold. Obviously, they're talking. They shipped the amount of, you know, carts to retailers and resellers, etc., to sit on shelves. That's not the real number. That doesn't show a lot of confidence when people start talking in numbers shipped as opposed to numbers sold, right? Like when you hear Apple saying, oh yeah, we sold, you know, X million iPhone X's and X million, you know, iPhone 8S's and 8S Pros or whatever. That shows confidence in the product. When people start talking about numbers of, you know, products shipped, I mean, unfortunately, Xbox was kind of, you know, guilty of this also earlier on.
Every company does this.
But obviously the last gen, the one that didn't was Sony, because they were talking numbers sold, right? Because numbers sold means what's actually in the hands of owners, whether it be on, you know, desks or in living rooms. So that's
Did you just say last gen?
I'm saying Xbox One, emails. PS4. Xbox One versus PS4.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because the last gen, dude, I've seen this from every company. Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, they all say the same.
Oh, no. I'm not going to lie. Everybody talks shipped. But the fact.
Everybody talks shipped.
Everybody talks ship. Clip it. But the number that you have to listen to is shipped. Or, I'm sorry, is sold, right? Units sold, not units shipped. Because at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I could manufacture 100 million units and say, look, we shipped 100 million units. More important fact is, how many of those 100 million units did you sell, right? And that's the bigger barometer of the success. And that, and going back to Battlefront 2, this whole fiasco with microtransactions and Battlefront 2, hopefully, we all hoped, I'm not going to say hopefully, I'm going to say we all hoped that Sony had, or not Sony, that EA had learned their lesson with regards to loot boxes and microtransactions and how that whole thing worked. And I understand part of the reasoning. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand the model of microtransactions and loot boxes and why they're put into... And God knows, I have this argument with my son almost on a weekly basis because he's still young and naive and doesn't have that much business acumen, unfortunately. But the reasoning behind it is game budgets have increased by like 100-200% since the last time prices were delineated for a sale, right? So $60 is the average sale price for any game. Budgets in that last 15 years, budgets have skyrocketed. And the only way that companies can make up that money is through the use of season passes and DLC and microtransactions, because they're shelling out an astronomical amount of money to be able to support these games from beginning of development all the way through launch and then post-launch through whether it's a season pass or DLC or what have you. I think the estimated number is like $200 if you wanted, for example, we'll throw out an arbitrary title from, you know, we'll throw out Destiny 1, phenomenal success. A game like that with the budget that it had and the expectation and marketing and sales for someone to have bought vanilla Destiny 1 and gone through all of the DLC that they bought, you know, that a person bought and they spent maybe what, $130, $140. That game should have actually been about $250. If you really want to break it down, there's no way a gamer is going to want to shell out $250, $280 for a game. You know, especially when the developer's making $20 at the end of the day on every game sold. So again, I don't want to say I chastise. I understand why we have microtransactions and loot boxes and things like that in these games. I don't necessarily understand the reliance that publishers or developers are putting on gamers to have to go through that to buy them.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's some news. Mario Odyssey has sold more copies on the Switch then Star Wars Battlefront 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One combined. And not shipped.
Sold. Units sold. Again, that sold. Magic number, the magic phrase. And also think about it. The Nintendo Switch has outsold the Wii U in less than a year. What? We're going on month number 10.
Yep. And it's about to hit 15 million.
Yeah.
15 million since March.
And that Wii U has sold more units in a 10-month span than the Wii U did in, what, 3.5, 4 years of its lifespan?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's insane. Yep. You know,
very insane.
Guilty
very
as charged, insane. Right? I'm sitting on one. Yeah. Yeah, all of us are sitting on one. So, I mean, that goes to show.
That's crazy. But
how much of that number was reliant on the release of a Super Mario Odyssey or a Breath of the Wild? You know what I mean? And that goes to, I think it's your old adage, you know, content over hardware. But I think that was the unicorn. I think that was the mystical unicorn that Nintendo needed. They finally got, you know, hitting on all four cylinders with respect to, and actually the way that thing has been selling and performing, all 8 cylinders. That thing's a V8 at this point.
And the crazy thing too, Pete, I remember during the holidays, Microsoft announced, oh, we're going to have cheap Xbox One S for cheap. Go buy it during the holidays, right? Sony did the same thing. Not Nintendo. Nintendo kept it the same. They were like, nah, we don't feel like doing that.
Don't have to.
We're going
to
keep it the same.
Don't have to.
And when I went to the store, that thing was not available. I went to multiple retail stores in Miami. Sold out. Sold out. You couldn't find it.
Can you even find them now?
I don't know. I haven't been to the store in a couple of days. a couple of weeks. So, but let us know if you guys are listening. Can you buy a Nintendo Switch at your local retail store? Go to your Best Buy. Go to your Target, Walmart. Let us know. Maybe Amazon.com. Actually, Pete, go to Amazon.com. I'm curious. Very quick.
Yeah, I'm checking.
And find a Wii. Yeah, to see if it's
a Wii or a Nintendo Switch.
I mean, not a Wii, Nintendo Switch.
Wii,
you can find it everywhere.
I mean, they say it's there for sale, but like, can you actually purchase it and pick it up or whatever tomorrow?
We'll see.
I don't know. I think
buy one. Buy me one. Buy me another.
Why?
One.
You already have one. So how am I buy you I one know. For? Buy your goddamn self.
Okay. So, another news that came from this EA. Conference. They said that Respawn's Star Wars game could be released by March 2020.
And yes, it is in
That's
stock.
That's a right long now. Time.
And by the
That's
way,
a it, long time.
Go back to it. It is in stock right now on Amazon, $2.99.
Oh, it is?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh yeah. You can get the gray, you can get the neon blue, it don't matter.
Same price. So, yeah, man, your thoughts, man, 2020. Paris thinks that this is for probably for the next console. I'm like, maybe for both. Might be similar to like Destiny, the first Destiny. Release it for the current and next gen consoles. That's what I think.
I don't think it's a wrong opportunity for them. You also don't want to have the same thing that happened with Titanfall and Respawn happen again, where you start to have a conflicting title fall upon the same launch window. I think it makes sense that when you're leading the charge with a Star Wars title, it gives them time to fully develop this game, hopefully without microtransactions and loot boxes. But I think it makes sense to do, you know, to stagger that launch out so it doesn't interfere with your Battlefield, whether it's going to be Battlefront 3 or, you know, Battlefield 7 or whatever, whatever number they're at that time. I think it makes sense because you want to give it that extra time to bake and world build, because this is, if it follows the current theme of new games as they're coming out, we're seeing a trend towards services, you know, a long lasting game as a service. right? So we're seeing it with like Rainbow Six, right? We're seeing it with, and we'd like to use this analogy, on a regular basis, but we like seeing the Ubisoft model because it works.
It's working. It's working for all their game, almost all their games, Ghost Recon, Division, and so on. Rainbow Six.
Hell, I was playing Rainbow Six earlier, just about an hour and a half ago. I was playing it just up until about 9 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm back. Nice. I'm back in. So seeing Star Wars, and I think it coincides with a movie release.
2020?
I think. I could be talking out the side of my neck.
Yeah, it is.
What, talking out the side of my neck or coinciding with the movie?
Oh, wait, hold on. The next Star Wars movie comes out in 2019.
No, but there is an untitled Star Wars film for 2020.
Yeah, but that's holiday 2020. The game is going to come out March of 2020. That's what they're saying, which makes sense because releasing it during the spring is a perfect time to release a game, man. There's not much competition. It's not like how it is, competing with Call of Duty and all these other games. Release it early of the year. So you have time to promote it during the release of the movie that comes out in 2019, holiday 2019. Promote that game there, right? Then people get excited, purchase the game in March, right before the next movie that comes out in 2020.
So it's supposed to be a standalone film. I'm curious if this is, and I don't know when this article was written, but I'm curious if that's going to be one of those Rian Johnson trilogy movies, which could be coinciding with this game.
I think it's going to be it's one of those like side story type movies.
Right. So it might be one of those standalones like Rogue One was.
This year is the Han Solo movie comes out this year, the end of the year.
Right. And then allegedly a potential Boba Fett one, maybe a Yoda movie. Who knows? But I think
Yoda would be the Boba Fett.
Boba Fett's going to be the one that everybody wants to see because everybody wants to see their favorite Mandalorian. So I think it would be fantastic to give. I mean, hell, think about that. And I'm going back to the rumor mill, my Miss Cleo movie. Give me that. If Microsoft does buy Valve, give me that Half-Life 3 and give me that Boba Fett or Yoda movie in 2020. Oh, Pete's going to be a happy kid, dude. Pete's going to be a happy kid, dude. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, if Microsoft makes that move with Valve, they're definitely going to release Half-Life.
Dude, can you imagine? We're going back, half an hour into the show. We hit the rewind. Dude, could you imagine a Half-Life 3 on Xbox, dude? Can you imagine?
Just imagine this.
They just dropped the 3 on the screen and shut the lights off. Done.
Just watch this.
Guys, let me dream. Yes, let me dream.
I have a dream.
Let me dream.
We go to E3. We sit down. This is E3 2018. We're sitting down. No leaks, nothing. First announcement. PUBG. Exclusive. We signed a deal with them, whatever. P is probably going to faint. I don't know. The second one, Val. Same thing, big announcement, right? Right? And then they announced, oh yeah, we have a brand new Half-Life game. Exclusive for Xbox and PC.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude.
The crowd will go, let me tell you, the crowd...
End E3 right there. Just shut it down. Just shut down E3. Nobody talks about anything else for the rest of the show.
just end it like that, and you're good. That would be a huge... Oh, my God. That would be a huge E3. Oh, my God. I can picture it now. Oof. Oh, man.
At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring 2, 3, or even more cars with us. to get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Pete, so should we go with fan mail?
We can do fan mail. A couple emails here. We could do fan mail.
All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Let's look for some questions here. You know what? I think we should read the reviews versus podcasts. I want to answer this one, Pete.
All right. Go for it.
All right, so this is from Keith.
That one. Okay.
Yes. I want to answer this one. Keith.
It's all you.
Shout out to you, man. Thanks for thanks for the email, man. This is Keith from Little Rock. Quick question, or rather a suggestion. I was wondering if you ever consider moving the reviews and interviews from the podcast to upload them separately. Although I enjoy all your content, but sometimes there's a game or interview I'm not interested in, and it kind of kills the momentum of the podcast. I was just listening to the latest episode, and he talks about the Dragon Ball Fighters. He said that it kind of killed the conversation that I had with Paris. That's what he's saying in this email. So I'm trying to make it short and stuff. But anyways, he says, I appreciate you reading this email, and or maybe you guys could take a poll because that's just my opinion. And so on. And he says that he agrees with Paris when he says that Ubisoft is the best third-party developer. All right, Keith, thanks a lot. Now, I really want to talk about this because I think I've been using that formula since the first episode of GTR. Right now, we're like, what, 733 right now? So it's working for us. I like doing that. Put everything in one content so we could have like a very long episode, right? It just doesn't make sense for us to separate all these interviews unless we're probably at an event like E3. That makes more sense. E3, right? You pick the interviews that you want and so on. But a GTR overall episode, no, I think we probably should just keep it this way. So my advice to you and to everybody that probably don't like the reviews or don't like the interviews, that they're not interested, this is a cool feature that's called fast forward. you could just fast forward the episode. That's it. That's all you have to do. Just press that button. It skips a couple seconds and you go continue to listen to our conversation. You know? So your thoughts, Fee?
No, I don't want to touch that one, dude.
And you know what? He's not the only one, because I heard this from a couple of listeners. Not much. It's a very small percentage. But, you know, I think that it's an episode. We should keep it like that. If it's E3, we have everything separate. Unless it's like a big event. Like, I think I did that for Call of Duty XP. I separated a bunch of episodes. I made it like a whole weekend coverage of Call of Duty XP. That makes sense. And that's it. Let's go. You want to read that one? Email? It's just fun. It's funny. It's funny. It's all good. Shout out to Keith, man. Thanks for listening to the show, man.
So this next message is from Joe. Joe from Ohio. With the recent success of PUBG and also games like Ark being launched in game preview, do you think other titles should follow the same formula? There's always going to be someone saying the game is broken, even though it's in preview. But you may have less complaints and failures in those games that may prevent people from buying the title or future titles from that series. Games like Mass Effect and Destiny could have possibly benefited from this. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Big titles, no. New IPs, indie games, makes more sense. Destiny, it doesn't make no sense. That's an Activision game. That's a big time, like, they're investing a lot of money for that game. They're not going to do that. Unless maybe release a little beta or something like that. But as a game preview, do you know any game preview game, like games like that, that's pretty big besides PUBG? Because I think it got big because of that, right? Because of the game preview.
I think part of the allure to PUBG, and I don't want to turn this into PUBG radio. But please. But I think the allure of the game in the early times, right, in the March, April, May, Junes of last year, back in the old days, part of the allure was the kookiness of things that you could never expect to or comprehend that would happen. Like, you could be in your car, you could hit an invisible walk, rock or a wall, and then you're catapulted 100 feet in the air with the car spinning in a circle. There's no way you would anticipate things like that. And part of those quirks are part of the appeal of the game. Now that it's matured over multiple iterations of its title over the last 6 or 8 months, it's started to grow out of those and more into a more mature game, product. And so I think that's something that drew in a lot of people aside from just the gameplay. When you have games like Mass Effect or Destiny, what he's more alluding to is more or less the Mass Effect Andromeda and Destiny 2, versus like the last Mass Effect, the whole Mass Effect trilogy or Destiny 1. I don't know if you want to put those games in a game preview, because you're essentially launching a broken game. Not necessarily saying a Mass Effect Andromeda wasn't broken. It had some components that needed to be fixed and was corrected over time, but it wasn't functionally broken. And then again, you've also got monster budgets behind them. Games like PUBG go out of early access in order to try to grow more capital so that they can start to put more of that, that funds that are coming in for people purchasing a game preview, to be able to invest that back into the title, to improve it, to ensure that you've got more longevity beyond a 4 month window of launch on game preview or what have you. So in an instance like PUBG, where it was a relative unknown coming in, granted it had some, beneficial backing from Bluehole, but at the end of the day, it's still a crapshoot. Nobody knew how well this game was going to explode and become the talking point of 2017 going into 2018. Now that it's got the success, does it really need to have that game preview title on top of it? Because now it's been iterated and on enough that it's now into a full 1.0 launch. And so games like Ark, I mean, even when I got it, from the PR, and shout out to Ted and all them, I don't know that even when it launched, it was in a solid state. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, that's that, like we call the unicorn. I think that's a unicorn, for Bluehole and PUBG Corp, where it was a relatively unknown thing, an unknown title or an experience. It hit the nail on the head at the right time. Cause again, a lot of these things are also timing, right? People were starved for content or game styles that were different from what they already were experiencing, and it worked. It was the right time, the right moment, and the right experience for that moment. So,
all right. So we have any other questions? So that's it. We can wrap it up.
Got
Barrett
one
wants to join here.
I see that. So I have one from Mario. Easy one. The peripheral he regrets the most was the Super Scope on the Super NES.
I said it.
Same thing. One of the Super worst Scope peripherals waste. Ever. Yeah. Yep. So
waste of money. It was cool, but there was not that many games. So I feel like I wasted my money on it.
It's possible. I mean, it's one of them. It's one of them for sure. I still think it's. I still think it's robbed. I think it's some of that crappy ass robot.
The reason why the Super Scope to me was a waste of money, I thought it was going to be bigger than the original gun from the NES. So I was like, oh man, they're probably going to release some big time games, a lot of third party support. It was bad. Waste of money. So yeah, Mario, we're on the same page, man. We're on the same page. All right. So I think that's it, Pete. We should wrap it up. Let's wrap it up. By the way, I've never mentioned this because I know we have it on our Twitch channel. I know a lot of people have been subscribing through Twitch, and even when we're not even streaming, they go in and support and subscribe. But we also have a donation page too, that's part of the whole Twitch thing too, because a couple of people have been asking me, how they could support without them going to subscribing to Twitch is fine. Just go here, go to streamlabs.com/gamertagradio. That's streamlabs.com/gamertagradio. If you want to support without subscribing to Twitch, you could go there and do that too, man. So whatever you want, whatever is easier for you. But for those that have been hitting me up, thank you so much for the support, man. That's awesome. Very cool. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Make sure to tune in. February 9th, we're going to have our live podcast event recording in front of an audience. In front of an audience for the first time in 13 years. Next week in Orlando. So if you want to join us, go to podfest.us for more information. Our session is free. Or if you want, you could hit me up, Godfrey@gamertagradio.com, and I'll give you all the information and so on. So subscribe. You can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And that's about it. Pete, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I need to make travel plans because apparently I had no idea that it was actually on Friday night.
Oh, my God. I told you it was
Friday. I know you did. I don't know. I guess my family's not going because my kids got, you know, my daughter's got school, my son's got work. So I don't know. I mean, I just might be going. I might be rolling solo.
Okay. All right. There you go. It's all good. All right, guys. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Yeah. You can hear me though, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm freaking driving. I'm driving home. I'm listening to the show, screaming the whole time. I'm listening with you with your freaking EA Fantasy World.
Paris. I said, what if it happens? Let's make believe if it happens.
But you were saying this the other day too. Look, bottom line, stop using Minecraft as the example. That is a one-off exception to the rule. There is no way in hell Microsoft is going to start publishing games on the PlayStation. So you really think they're going to put Madden, FIFA, Star Wars, hockey on PlayStation? You really think that?
So that's more money for them.
They're not going to. No, Phil, they're Phil, not doing Phil, that. Dude, Phil. Well, okay. Let's back up.
Hold up. Hold up. You know that Via Pinata was also available for the DS. You know that, right?
I know. Okay, but we're not talking a mobile device. We're talking a major device. Console. Oh, the DS is portable, is my point.
So you're saying if Microsoft buys EA, all those games are going to be only for Xbox and PC?
Well, okay, here's what's really going to happen. Microsoft will never have that option because the NFL, FIFA, and Disney will say, no, we'll give it to 2K or Ubisoft or something. We're not putting ourselves on one console. They're not going to do that. And they're not going to have Microsoft, who obviously is going to have other games that are exclusive titles. That's so confusing to the consumer. Some of the games you can only play on Xbox, but all the sports games, the licensed games, we're going to put on PlayStation. They're not doing that.
Because of the contract, Paris. It's the same thing as what happened with Marvel and Disney, right? Wait, Paris, let me finish. It's the same thing.
You never let you talk when someone else has a point. Go ahead.
It's the same thing with Marvel and Disney, right? Disney bought Marvel, but there's Marvel rides at Universal, but because of the contract, they still have to have those rides available there until the contract ends, and then Disney could take those rides and take it to and move it to their theme parks, right? And I think I see something similar to, again, what if that happens? Okay, it's under contract. They have a contract. EA has a contract with Disney, with Star Wars. They have to create those games and have it available for all consoles. So Microsoft will say, okay, we're going to continue with that contract. Same thing with the NFL and FIFA because of the contract.
Okay, so can I talk now?
Yes.
Can I talk? All right.
Yes.
So you're telling me that Phil Spencer is going to go to Satya Nadella and say, Satya, I have a great idea. Let's spend $20 billion to purchase EA. But while the contracts are going, we're going to start developing for the PlayStation 2. and we're going to split our user base. We're going to give PlayStation owners no incentive to want to play anything on Xbox, because they can continue to play the freaking Madden on PlayStation. That's what you're saying.
And then it's working for Minecraft.
I'm not done.
Okay.
And then Satya, when the contracts are up, the NFL, Disney, and FIFA are going to look, and NHL are going to look at us and go, "What the hell are we doing? We're going to Ubisoft. We're out of here. We're gone." So now we've lost those IPs, and all we're left with is Battlefield, Titanfall, and Anthem.
Yeah.
You're drunk.
What I'm saying is, they're not going to leave. Money talks, Paris. Money talks.
You are high. You are smoking dope. That's all I got to say.
Okay. All right. So why would this close source will mention this to a journalist then?
Well, you already saw that Polygon is freaking moonwalking away from it about the EA thing.
I haven't been reading today.
Yes,
about it.
They're already moonwalking away from that. Like Pete said, the most likely one is PUBG, and on the Valve one, it ain't just Steam. It is Left 4 Dead, Portal, Dota, the VR. Already they have VR already established. So you're buying the whole package with Valve. Microsoft acquiring Valve makes a lot of freaking sense, but I highly doubt Gabe Newell sells. I just don't see it.
There's no need
unless
to.
Unless he just wants out of the business.
I think he wants to get out of the business.
I love how you just went in Gabe Newell's mind. Well, I think he wants to sell. How do you know?
Yo, Paris, when was the last time we have seen him doing interviews?
Okay, but Danny, this is why I was screaming at my phone. Valve, have you seen a Dota match? Have you seen one lately?
Not lately, but I've seen it.
They sell out arenas.
Arenas, yeah, of course.
That is their focus now. That's why they're not doing Half-Life 3 or Left 4 Dead 3 or another Portal. They're focused on Dota, Counter-Strike Go, and Team Fortress. That's where their money's being made right now on the gaming side. They're not a gaming publisher anymore, to be honest with you. They're more of a services publisher. That's what they do now. You know?
Hey, man, you don't have to attack me. I'm just saying, what if? You're making it seem like I'm like, oh, it's going to happen.
Well, because I know what you were saying in the chat the other day. That's what
Danny just got enhanced. That's what happened.
Exactly.
Hey, man, let me tell you. If this happens, it's a mic drop. If it happens,
but that's what I'm saying. It's a mic drop because they're getting Battlefield and Titanfall and Anthem and Mass Effect and things like that. I'm telling you, the NFL is going to look at Microsoft and say, kiss our... You are not making this exclusive. We're out. And Microsoft is not going to start putting major AAA games like that on PlayStation. They're just not. They're not doing that. That makes no sense. Why are they then a first-party publisher at that point? They might as well stop making hardware and go third-party.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They're not going to do that.
I'm just saying that I'm having fun with this conversation. That's all. It's just what if.
I know it's a what if. I'm just telling you it's a big ass what if because it ain't happening.
In caps.
No. Okay, but all jokes aside.
Okay.
Forget the sports title. Let's say it was this way. Let's say EA sold it kind of like Fox did. Fox didn't sell all of Fox to Disney. They just sold a portion of Fox to Disney, right? So let's say EA said, we're going to just become EA Sports. And then the rest of EA, Microsoft buys. That I could see. Do that. 100%
so like, do that. Like, so like DICE, Bioware.
Yep. Criterion, all that. They were like, you can have all that, but we're keeping Tiburon and all the sports studios. And we're going to just be EA Sports from now on. That's what we do. We do sports games, and we're multi-platform. That makes sense to me. I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. But then, even that with Star Wars, there's no way Star Wars is going to become exclusive to one console. So I think Star Wars goes to another publisher. But they get BioWare, they get DICE, they get Criterion. That those are three major studios for Microsoft to get. Could you imagine Microsoft saying, "Hey, Criterion, y'all, the Forza Horizon studio now."
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. BioWare, BioWare, Casey. Like I said in the documentary, please, baby Jesus, save us, Casey. All the Anthem and Mass Effects you want. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. DICE, y'all just keep making Battlefield like you're doing. You keep doing your thing. Now Battlefield is exclusive to Xbox. That's freaking huge.
And Anthem.
Yeah, and Anthem. Now they got their big shared shooter game, looter shooter, exclusive to Xbox. That's huge.
Yeah.
But for them to buy EA Sports makes no sense to me at all.
No, I think that scenario makes a lot more sense, I think.
Yeah. I can see that.
Oh boy. That's just good. Good conversation, man.
But look, that's all I had to say. I'm sitting there bowling with all these old people. I'm looking at this screaming. I go, "What the hell is Daddy talking about?"
So we'll talk about it some more on Sunday. Hopefully we'll find out something.
Honestly, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say there's a better than 50-50 chance they buy PUBG. I would say less than 20% they would buy EA. I put 40% in Valve. And honestly, I just don't think Valve would sell. They are a service at this point that makes it, just prints money. Why would they just give that to Microsoft? It makes no sense. I just don't see it.
Is Polygon also doing the same thing about Valve too? They're doing the moonwalk with that one too, or no? Or just EA?
No, it was just EA. They kind of. But hey, let's put it this way: Microsoft's going to acquire. I think there's going to be three big announcements from them by the end of this year of acquisitions. I can see that.
I think so too. They're hungry.
PUBG's just makes sense. Don't let PlayStation get them. Now you own that. You own that. That's yours. It's exclusive to Xbox. And then I can see them getting a couple more studios and doing it that way.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. Oh, and the Perfect Dark thing is really starting to look like it's real because there's a studio in the UK that I guess Microsoft has some stake in that's been staffing up big time. And it just put the pieces together, man. Playground Games is doing Fable, and it looks like another UK studio is doing Perfect Dark.
So Perfect Dark will be 2019-2020.
I'm glad the 2020 thing. So to bring that up, that was the other thing. That Respawn game, I'm telling you, that won't be March. That'll be holiday 2020 because it may show up on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but it'll be kind of like you guys were saying. It's going to be a next-gen game too. They'll do it like that. I don't think it'll be out to the holiday because why would you put a Star Wars game out in March? You're going to put it out around the time of a Star Wars movie. So it would probably be November, December of 2020.
No, the reason I said that is because they don't want to compete with Call of Duty or whatever first person.
It's Star Wars. Think about it. EA screwed up and still shipped 9 million units of Battlefield 2. That's how strong Battlefield is. Star Wars, the IP is. Yeah. So they're not afraid of Call of Duty. They'll go head to head and Call of Duty. Yeah. I don't even think that's an issue. They would do that. Oh, and then Pete, Cyberpunk. I think Cyberpunk is also a holiday 2020 game. I think it is.
I want them to take their time. Give me a 6-year window of waiting more, dude. I don't care. I don't care.
That kind of is, though, because they supposedly started on Cyberpunk in 2014.
So, yeah, that's about right. Yeah, it's about five, 6 years is usually their average, is their average turnaround time.
Yeah, so, I mean, 2020 would seem about right. And then I know Danny trying to rush me off, but one last thing.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
You better hurry up.
Not forget. Screw you.
Take your time, Perez. I'm the one who controls the stream anyways.
No, I don't remember. I was something with Cyber. No, I was just going to say they're going to unveil it at E3 this year, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll see it.
Where though? Do they do?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what I was. I was going to ask you, Pete and Danny, real quick. Yeah. Who do you think because Warner Brothers was the publisher for Witcher? Do you think Warner Brothers continues to be the publisher for Cyberpunk?
Mm-hmm. You know what's crazy? I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft is the publisher.
Oh, my God. I knew he was going to say that. Of course you think it's Microsoft.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Xbox and PC.
Once again, there is no way in hell CD Projekt Red is going to make themselves exclusive to Xbox.
Time exclusive.
No, not even that.
There's not a title like that game. Not a title like that.
No, Tomb Raider. I don't see it. No.
No?
No. There ain't enough money Microsoft can give CD Projekt Red to do that.
Who do you think will be the publisher? What, you think it's Ubisoft?
No, I don't think it'd be Ubisoft. I mean, it very well could be Warner Brothers again. I don't know, but
they have the relationship.
But it's going to be highest bidder, man. I'll tell you that. Someone's going to pay a pretty penny to be the publisher.
You know, a lot of publishers are behind the scenes are.
Yeah, they're negotiating big time
because of the success of The Witcher.
Exactly.
They're not going to let that go, man. I'm telling you. Hey, I know it's not EA. It's not EA, that's for sure.
Why not? If they go to the highest bidder.
Who knows? According to Danny, Microsoft is going to own them, so.
Well, that is true. So there you go. You win.
See? There it is. Microsoft. No, there's a reason why I've been mentioning Microsoft. Because the relationship, the every time there's an announcement from them, is always at the Microsoft press conference. That's the reason.
Now I think Microsoft will get the marketing deal for them. Don't get me wrong. I think it will be announced on the stage at Xbox, but I don't think the publisher will be Xbox.
The only one left is either Activision or
You know what? You just said it. I think it'll be Activision. I'm calling Miss Leon's calling it, boy.
Activision?
I don't know about that.
Activision, I don't know. I don't see it.
Hey, Activision will back up the break. Because think about it. That's the one thing they don't have in the portfolio right now. They don't have a big RPG in the portfolio.
Now, the only way that will happen if... Because I know the CEO of... Isn't the CEO of Activision? He's leaving?
Yeah. Bobby Kotick, right?
Yeah.
No, not Bobby. It's what's his name? I forgot his name. He's leaving.
What about this one?
Eric Hirschberg.
Oh.
Bethesda would be nice.
Bethesda makes sense.
Bethesda got the track record. They got the track record with them. Hey, Uncle Pete out there is selling like a mug.
I see Bethesda more than anybody else, than Warner Brothers.
But I know you're running me off, and I had said this in the Discord. I'll just say it on here for anyone that's in the after show.
Yeah,
Cyberpunk is when I build my next PC. I think I can ride my current build ride out to 2020. That's when I'll build my next PC. It'll be Cyberpunk. In 8K.
8K. All right, Punk. I think we should be out.
All right, bye. Bye, I'm almost home anyway. Bye.
All right. Later.
Later.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.